Psalm number 61. Psalm 61. You know, when you sing a song like that, we just sang 12 times, God will take care of you. Three verses, four times a verse, we sung, God will take care of you. It's supposed to encourage you. Amen. The songs are supposed to encourage you, remind you of Bible truths. Look at Psalm 61. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read verse 1. You read verse 2 with me. My text verse is verse 8, the last verse. Psalm 61, 1 through 8. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for giving us your word and your holy Bible. Lord, we ask and pray that you'd lead us, guide us. Lord, help us. Convince us and improve us. Lord, you're the only one who changes a life. So please, do what only you can do and work in our hearts. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. My text verse is verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, comma, that I may daily perform my vows. And so David is used of God to teach us, I'm going to sing and use good music. I'm going to praise the name of God so that I can be encouraged to keep my vows. He uses good music. So it starts with, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that, the reason, I may daily perform my vows. God wants us to live a committed life to the Lord every day. And the key word in verse number 8 for me this morning is daily. Daily performing my vows. I don't want to be a Christian once a week or only when it's convenient. I want to be a Christian every day. I want to be a daily Christian. Now you have to understand, when any sinner places their faith in Jesus Christ because he died for them, the moment they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus to save them, when they do that one time, they're saved. Aren't you glad? That's all it takes to be saved, is a belief and placing your faith only in Jesus to be saved. To be saved, you call on the name of the Lord once. To be a Christian, you have to grow in your character or your discipline of yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting Him control you every day. Every day. That's why a Catholic mentality in our area is, and I realize if you have a Catholic background, it's hard to get out of this mindset, but you live one way during the week, but when you come to church, because it's a holy place, quote unquote, you act differently, you confess your sins, and then when you go home, you live differently than you would at church. When you get saved, you realize God, you become the dwelling place of God. And you're not supposed to live differently at home than you do at church. You're not supposed to talk differently at home than you do at church. God's with you as much home. If you're saved, He's just with you as much there as He is here. And living that type of a lifestyle will stifle you as a Christian, and you can't grow. If this is, God owns the church. God, this church belongs to God, but God doesn't live here. God lives inside of you. You're the dwelling place of God. God's always with you if you're saved. He never leaves you or forsakes you. So, this morning, You're on your way to heaven because you trusted Jesus to save you. But you only enjoy being saved when you seek to live for the Lord every day. I know some Christians that are miserable. God's in the way of what they want to do. God is an inconvenience. All they wanted was to be saved. God, I'm glad you died for me. Glad you rose again. Thank you for that. But the rest of my life is mine. Stay out of my life. And you know what? They pay a price for that and they're not happy. You can't be happy that way. God won't let you be happy that way. You'll search endlessly for satisfaction and never find it until you surrender to the one who saved you. Amen? Now, to give you an illustration of this, go take your Bible and go to Genesis 49. Go to Genesis chapter 49. You enjoy being saved when you seek to live for the Lord every day. Genesis chapter 49. And this is going to illustrate the opposite of what I'm trying to show you this morning. The Lord touched my heart about this. But Genesis chapter 49, this is Israel's firstborn. And look what Israel, Jacob, said to his oldest son, Reuben. Start in verse 1, Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." So Jacob, or Israel, is on his deathbed. He gathers his sons around him. And he says, verse 2, "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." Now, verse 3, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn. My might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power." Verse number 4, I wish you'd underline the first three words, "unstable as water." Unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. And he tells his firstborn son, "I'm glad God brought you into my life, but you're never going to excel in life because you're inconsistent. You're like a glass of water that's always swishing from side to side. If the glass tilts, you're never on the level. You're always waving back and forth. You're unstable as water. Your character is not set. Therefore, you will not excel in life because you're unstable." Look, the life is supposed to be a rhythm, and it's something that you develop with your character, and you get in the rhythm of life, and that gives you stability. That's why church is supposed to be set Sunday morning. It's not every time you get up Sunday morning, it's not supposed to be, "I wonder if I'm going this morning." No, that causes instability. You don't do that with work, at least I hope not, right? They're supposed to be, when it comes Monday, according to my schedule, I know what I'm doing. When it comes Wednesday night, I'm going to church. I wonder if I have time for that. I wonder if it's when it's time to pray. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. God says, I can't bless you if you're not consistent in what you do. That's why people who, living for the Lord is supposed to, this is the opposite of what I'm trying to show you today. A happy Christian does what God wants them to do daily. Not, I give to the church every once in a while, and, I go to church every once in a while, and, right, they're not inconvenienced. They literally do whatever they want to do, and their whole life is unstable as water. I'm not dancing. I'm just trying to show you, a glass of water. Unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Now, let me show you the opposite of this. Take your Bible and go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. So Reuben, God could not bless, and God said, until you get some consistency in your life and you determine what you stand for and where you go, God says, I cannot bless you. You will not grow spiritually until you determine this is what life is. Look, I like the old statement. How come you go soul winning on Saturday? It's what we do. It's what we are. It's what we were told to do. It's the Great Commission. Somebody asked me, how many people are in your church because of your soul winning? I said, not many. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure. I'm Okay, is anybody here because I knocked on your door and led you to the Lord? Could you raise your hand? You saw it on the internet, though, remember? Now, Chris is kind of a neat situation. He came to church 3 weeks after he watched the video, and he got saved, okay, from that. Chris, thank you. You're a blessing, okay? But watch this. You mean out of about 50 people, one. So somebody said, how come you go soul winning in your church? Does it build your church? I said, no, it doesn't build our church. We don't go soul winning because it builds the church. We go soul winning because we were told to go soul winning. It's what we do. It's what we are. We've been told to preach the gospel to every creature. If Chris wasn't here, we should still go soul winning. Amen? It's amazing to me. Well, what's the results? If there are no results, I'm still supposed to do right. We do what we do because we've been told to do it by the Lord as His child. We don't do it because it, quote, we see the benefits and fruit. I praise God for Chris. I praise the Lord for his growth in the Lord. But I've been here 5 years. If results is what determines what I do, boy howdy, we'd probably have it. Dance band up here or something. I don't know. That's why churches change. Well, is your soul winning building the church? As far as I know, no. How come your church doesn't go soul winning? If it doesn't, it's a disobedient church and God can't bless it. Now, Reuben was unstable as water. Our stability comes from we do what we do because it's right. Not because it feels good, not because it brings results. The results are in God's hands, right? Some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. So, look at 1 Chronicles 28. Look at verse 6 and look what God said to David about Solomon. And he said unto me, I'm at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 6, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. And if you underline the next four words, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. That's the opposite of Reuben. God says, I can bless you and help you if you'll be consistent in what you're doing. But the hit and miss, I read my Bible whenever, I pray whenever, I go to church whenever, I give whenever. If he be constant, I will establish his kingdom. If he can't be constant, he's unstable as water and he's not going to excel. Christian, the same thing's true for you. Same thing's true for me. Everything is God can bless anybody and help you if you're just consistent in what you do. You say, well, I can't read my Bible 3 hours a day. Okay, can you read it for 5 minutes? Then set it and do it. If he be constant. If he be constant. If he be constant. Do it. If it's right to do, put in the schedule and then live that way. And then let God bless and help. But if there is no consistency, all it is if everything's left, well, it's pretty rough times we're living in. Did you know no matter what we're going through right now in America, my mission hasn't changed? I'm still supposed to walk with God and make disciples, and so are you. Amen. My mission has not changed. You're right. I get frustrated with the times, but our mission together has never changed. And if persecution broke out next week and they banned church and you can't meet anymore, and guess what? We go to secret meetings. Because we've been told to. Right? That's what our forefathers did. I hope it doesn't go to that. Don't want it to. Not wanting it to. I like this. Okay? I like it. I like us. No threat this morning. But who knows? Our mission's the same. If he be constant. Now, the name of the sermon is, what are a Christian's daily responsibilities? We learn about forgiveness when we're at church, but then we do it for a little bit, and then we don't. We learn about being kind, And we do it for a little while when we're reminded once or twice, and then we stop. We learn about prayer, then we hit and miss. To learn the Word of God and respond to it is good, but we're supposed to seek to grow in our lifestyle and in our discipline as a child of God. Discipline, disciple. Same thing. A disciple is disciplined. They make themselves do what God told them to do. You cannot be a disciple without discipline. I discipline myself. Take your Bible and let's look at, go back to Psalm chapter 61, where we started, and let's look at these places in the Bible where God tells us daily to do things. What are we daily required to do? I would preach a message like this. This encourages me. It helps me. Because it does not matter how crazy things get, no matter what's breaking out in a riot, no matter what protests are happening, I need to still do what God's told me to do. And I better not, like I just did, like I just gave you an example, I better not use the excuse, well, you know, times are pretty tough right now. So, right? You better have that attitude. If you're going to live for God, you have to, okay, well, I'm going to enjoy church while we got it. And if they ever do outlaw it and it becomes unsafe and killing multitudes of people, a bunch of garbage, then, hey, we'll start meeting at night and we'll start meeting secretly. We got a 1,000-year history of that. It's beyond 1,000 years. So I'm going to enjoy it while we got it. Amen? I'm going to enjoy being together. Psalm 61, look at verse 7. What am I supposed to do here? God says in verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now, if you read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 tells us not to make rash vows because we're more likely to not do what we promise. We've all heard the stories, God, if you get me out of this, I'll be a missionary to Africa, and then it never happens. So I'm not supposed to respond to outward pressure by making an immediate plea to God, God, get me out of this and I'll do anything you want. No, you won't. As soon as you're back in safety, you'll forget about it. That's our human nature. But God does say this, listen, there are commitments that we're supposed to make to the Lord in times of revival and when the Lord's dealing with you. I've been touched. God's touched my heart in church to read His Word more. I've been touched to pray more. I've been touched to go soul winning more. I've been touched to be more faithful. When God touches your heart and says you need to grow in that area, I'm supposed to say, okay, I will commit myself or make a vow. The world calls it what resolutions, right? We call it vows. So when God touches your heart and says, you aren't praying enough, I want you to grow. I want you to read my word more. I want you to start going soul winning. You know you've been unfaithful. I want you to grow. I can preach that till I'm blue in the face, but it's God dealing with your heart that grows you. And when God does, then guess what? That's when I use the altar. That's when I pray. And that's when I say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna commit myself to you in this area of my life. I want to perform my vows daily. You know, we're consistent in eating and sleeping. And we'd never skip eating and sleeping for 3 days or 2 weeks or 2 months. However, it's amazing how much we can skip our spiritual commitments much easier. I know people that haven't read their Bible for 2 months. 2 months. But they wouldn't miss a meal. If you ate physically like you eat spiritually, you'd starve to death. God help you if the only place you read your Bible is at church. It's supposed to. That's a place of sanctity. It's a place of strength and refuge. How come you don't read the Bible at home? My goodness, let God bless you and help you and fill the tank at home. Look, if we're only in church 2 days a week, Sunday morning, tonight, and Wednesday night, you need the Bible more than I need the Bible more than that, especially in these times. Oh my goodness. Look, God touches your heart to do something for Him, then go ahead and yield and make a commitment. The world, okay, It's important for us to push ourselves and to try daily to do what God has touched our hearts for to do for Him. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Philippians chapter 3 says, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I push myself. There's things I'm supposed to push myself every day so that I can live for the judgment seat of Christ. Look, I don't get up every morning and feel saved. Sometimes I feel nasty. But what's your feelings have to do with Christianity? It's amazing. I'm not supposed to read my Bible when I feel like it. I'm supposed to read my Bible because it's right to do. I'm not supposed to pray when I feel like praying. I don't know whenever I've knelt down to pray when I felt like praying. I pray because I'm told to pray. And there's never been a time that I didn't start praying that I realized I needed to pray. Amen? But if you only do what you feel like doing, you live a very weak Christian life. And there's no spirituality. There has to be a commitment. I'm going to do this and I'm going to live this way, and daily I want to perform my vows. I try to spend some time in the Bible every day. I try to spend some time in prayer every day. I try to tell somebody about the Lord and pass out a gospel tract every day. But I have had sick days and I've had carnal days. Days where, there's days where I've been overwhelmed and where we were pressed out of measure, like the Bible says. But may the Lord help us to keep the vows that we have made to Him and our commitments to Him. You're in Psalm 61, go to Psalm 68. Let's look at another thing God tells us. Psalm 68. What am I daily supposed to do? Psalm 68, look at verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. What words? What beautiful words. Daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So listen to this. Every day of my life, I'm the beneficiary of loads of benefits from my God. I should be thankful then every day for what God has done and what God's doing and what God's going to do in my life. Because every day, God says, He gives me bountiful truckloads of blessing. We read this morning in Sunday school in Lamentations, chapter 3, I'll just read it to you. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new. What are? God's compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But you know, if I'm not careful, I'm going to forget God's goodness. And not only become unthankful, but frustrated with God because He's not making my life go my way or turn out the way I think it should. Christian, you got to keep yourself in check. When I don't thank God for what He's done and what He's doing in my life, I start taking it for granted, and then I begin to expect it. Every day, praise the Lord, God tells us He loads us with benefits. That's things we see, and that's things we can't see. You haven't seen everything God's done for you this week. Did you know there's wrecks God kept you from? You never saw it. There's things God's done for you this week that you've seen, and there's things God's done for you that you haven't seen and you won't see till you get to heaven. He's daily loaded you with benefits. We need to thank Him every day for His mercy and His grace and His help. And if we aren't careful, we're going to think only of these benefits as physical. But can I remind you this morning, what about God's love and God's joy and God's peace and God's forgiveness of sin and God's security that you'll never lose your salvation and the hope that you have in the Bible and God's compassionate treatment of us? We should be thankful He daily loads us with benefits. We aren't careful, we're going to develop a socialistic welfare mentality that never says thank you for the welfare check. Amen. We've been given a lot by God. that we've not worked for. And God's blessed us. And God wants us to respond with a thank you and praise to Him. He daily loads us with benefits. Can I remind you this morning? You have a loving God that gave you loads of benefits yesterday, and He deserves a thank you. You have a loving God that gave you loads of benefits today, and He deserves a thank you. Can I just remind you? We'll move on to the next point. Tomorrow, He's going to load you with benefits, and He deserves a thank you. He daily, every day, He gives me truckloads of blessings. How dare I be so ungrateful to not thank Him? Take your Bible. We're in Psalm 60. Go to Psalm 86. Go to Psalm 86. Watch this. Psalm 86. What are a Christian's daily responsibilities? What am I supposed to do daily? Perform my vows. I'm supposed to thank God daily for His goodness to me. How about Psalm 86? Look at verse 1. I'll work our way down to verse 3. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Watch. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I cry unto thee. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. So this man who was poor and needy, this man trusted in God. He cried unto the Lord every day. And there's no contradiction. You cry unto the Lord, okay? You pray as much as you need God, and you cry to God as badly as you need Him. And if you never cry to God, you don't need Him. Right? But when you need help, that's when we cry out. Remember the day you found out you needed to get saved? Right? All those that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you cried out to God, Lord, please save me. I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Remember when you found out the bad news? That's when we're supposed to cry unto the Lord daily. You know what? We need God every day. The only reason we don't cry unto Him is because we think we can handle it. Right? I got this. It's okay. No, you don't. Everything you touch turns to manure. I've learned that a long time ago. I need God every day. If He doesn't help me tomorrow, I'm a failure. I can't help anybody. I can't be used unless God touches me and helps me. I need God. Christian, you need God. He cried daily unto Him. Cry, Lord, please help me today. Help me at work. Lord, help me be a good husband. Lord, help me be a good wife. Lord, help me be a good son or a daughter. And Lord, help me at work. Lord, and you cry unto God daily because we need Him. I need to be. Look, when I pray, I'm reminded I need God. Okay? Maybe it's a temptation or a lure of the flesh that you're dealing with. Maybe it's an unexpected financial crisis because of an unexpected worldwide crisis. May God help us to spend some time every day lifting our hearts to Him and crying unto Him and telling Him all that's in our heart. And to come to God in prayer and cast all your care upon Him, listen, is one of the privileges of the Christian life. Because you can pray anytime you want. Aren't you glad? You don't have to come to the church, although it's wonderful to come to church. You don't have to come to church and pray. You can drop on. You don't have to drop on your knees. You can stand and go get in the pine thicket. You can go for a walk with God. You can cry out to God anytime you want. He lives inside of you. Amen? God wants to hear my voice crying out to Him every single day. Go to Psalm 88. Go to Psalm 88, verse 9. You're in Psalm 86. Go to Psalm 88. I know this is similar, but look at Psalm 88, verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. God wants me daily calling upon Him. Now, follow me here just for a second. There's many, many people in the world who have it worse than I do. My affliction that I'm going through right now is not like others in third world countries, like in Mexico, like in communist countries or Islamic nations. Listen, but God says He wants me to bring my afflictions and my heartaches to Him and call upon Him for help daily. Did you know whatever brings a tear to your eye should bring a prayer to your lips? Did you know whatever brings fear in your heart should bring you into your prayer closet? Did you know whatever causes you anxiety as you watch the news and media is supposed to cause you to pray? We should be calling upon the Lord daily. Daily. Now take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So, and verse number 5, Jesus is going to give us an outline for prayer. And he says, I want these ingredients to be in your prayer. He didn't say, quote this when you pray. He didn't say, pray these words. He said, when you pray, he said, use this outline. So start at verse 5. He said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for that your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He said, after this manner pray. Use this outline. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So God wants you to remind him. God wants to be addressed as your heavenly Father, because he's not everybody's Father. He's everybody's creator, but he's not everybody's Father. And the fact that he saved you, God says, when you say, my heavenly Father, you're saying he saved you. Holy is your name. You're a holy God. I'm not going to go through all of this, but watch this. He says, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I'm looking forward to your coming someday. And then notice verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to use this verse right here. Praying daily for our daily bread should be easier now, because we've seen some of the shelves empty in the stores. They're saying the food shortage is going to get worse. I hope it doesn't, personally. I don't want it to. They're saying it's going to increase. And they said the supplies that some of the stores have had at the first time the lockdown happened, and then the shortages, what we've seen is what was in surplus has been weaned down. They said the next time we go through this, it's going to get worse. I've never seen blank shelves in the store since I've been alive. I've never seen where you walk into a store and just the whole aisle is blank. I'm seeing that now for the first time. Okay? The meat shortages are now starting to be seen. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread, should be easier to pray with the unemployment now. Over 100,000 jobs, they said, in America have been totally and permanently lost. They said the housing where you could not get evicted if you couldn't pay your rent, they said that is going to come to an end in 2 months, and then the homelessness where people are evicted out of their homes is going to start. We haven't seen it yet. I don't want to see it. I just don't think we're at the end of what we're going through. Many people all over the world are starving because of the effects of what we're going through. I've read the missionary letters where they said, we're watching our people starve. You watched us read Brother Goodpaster's letter. He said, we're trying to give rice to the people, but they're watching their people starve to death. This is why this morning, when you sit down at any table before you eat, you should bow your head and thank the Lord for what he's provided for you. Give us this day our daily bread. Yesterday, my wife fixed me a hamburger, and we had some visitors from, it was the Eckers from West Virginia, and he built this pulpit and so many things in our church. My wife fixed us hamburgers yesterday, and she put two hamburgers on my plate. And as I thanked the Lord for the food, I said, I actually have food. Look, the world acts like a dog and a cat. They don't thank God for their food. They just eat. But a Christian's supposed to look at the food and say, Lord, you gave this to me. And I can't help but think, Lord, are we heading into days where, I hope not. I sure hope I thank God while I have it. You know what I prayed? I said, Lord, thank you for the food you put on my plate. And Lord, thank you, Lord, I hope you always give us food. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants you thanking Him every day for what you eat. Even if your freezer's full, even if you're surplus, doesn't care how much food you got in canned. Give us this day our daily bread. I fear that we're going to learn this verse in ways we don't want to learn it. I don't want to learn it the hard way. I don't want to be without food to where I'm thankful for the food that I should have prayed for and given God the blessing for. Christian, thank God for your food. Let's go to the next one. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. What does God want me doing every day? Every day. What are my daily responsibilities as a Christian? Luke chapter 9, look at verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Verse number 23, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Now, none of us can pay for anybody else's sins. And that's not the cross. The cross Jesus is talking about is not that type of a cross. Jesus died on a cross one time because he's the only one that could pay for everyone's sins. That's the only payment that could ever be made for sin. The cross Jesus is telling us to take up means this. For me to take up my cross, it says, I'm cut off from this life, the life I used to live. And I'm now laying down the life that I now have in sacrifice for the benefit of others. Jesus said, I died to give you eternal life and for me to work through you. Now that you're saved, you have to die so that I can live through you. I died for you to give you eternal life, and for you to live the Christian life, you have to die. Take up your cross. That's the cross he's talking about. Where I give up what I want to do, and I give up what the way I want to live, so that Jesus can live through me. God says every day that's supposed to happen, or I can't be a good Christian. There's a cross that I'm supposed to die on every day. That's a Bible study in itself. I'm crucified with Christ. To learn how to do that, every day I need to die to self. And it's me against God. Tomorrow morning when I get up, it's me against Jesus. It's not the devil against Jesus. I got my hands full with me. And I'll have a good day tomorrow if I'll die and put myself on that cross and get out of the way so that he can live through me, and so will you. Every one of us is supposed to get on that cross daily. Daily. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 31. Jesus said, take up his cross daily. Every one of us is supposed to take up, okay? We're supposed to deny ourselves and take up our cross. We don't have to take up his cross. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:31. It says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Paul said that. You know what he's talking about? He said, I get on a cross and crucify my nasty flesh and my selfishness and my self-centeredness and the way I want life to go. I do that every day so God can use me. And the same, that recipe is the same for all of us. I used to think, boy, that's pretty stout. It's me against Jesus every day. And I have a good day when I lose. And I have a bad day when I win and I do what I want to do. Get on that cross. Every one of us has a cross that Jesus gave us to die on. Christian character says, I'm going to carry my cross every day. Now take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 5. We're coming down to it here. Acts chapter 5. What am I supposed to do daily? What am I supposed to do daily? Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 40. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. It says here, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Watch. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They did that daily. They gave the gospel every day. They sought to give the gospel to somebody every single day. They passed out tracts every... I know they didn't have them, but stick with me. They passed out tracts every day. I should be willing and seeking to teach and preach Jesus Christ every day. You say, you do that because you're a pastor. They did that because they were Christians. Being a pastor has nothing to do with it. If anything, I'm supposed to do it more. But I'm not supposed to do things you're not supposed to do, right? We're all supposed to be given the gospel. We're all supposed to be trying to live for the Lord. They daily, they didn't stop teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. To be a saved brother or sister in Christ, did you know you could call one person a day? They sought to teach and preach Jesus. You're in Acts chapter 5. Look at the next, it kind of goes along with it. Look at Acts 17. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I don't know what your goals are every day, but if we allowed the Bible to give us our priorities, this is what, before this day is done and before I lay my head on my pillow tonight, I need to do what God's told me to do. I need to live for the Lord. I need to do daily what He's told me. Acts 17, verse 11. Watch this. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica," it's talking about the Christians in Berea, "in that they received the word," watch, "with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." The Berean Christians opened their Bible every day. They read their Bible every day. They studied their Bible every day. They took what the preacher gave in a sermon and studied it at home. Look, that's how come I do things like this. I don't know who's studying it, and I don't want to know. I'd like to think everybody takes this home. You know why? Because I think you're like me. When I got saved, I read every gospel tract I could get my hand on. I wanted to see how people presented the gospel. Chick tracts in that day, you know. I read chick tracts galore, marking my Bible. When I found a verse I wanted to memorize, I'd write it down, put it in my pocket, and take it out. And I'd say, so I really think people in our church take this home and mark their Bibles, because that's what I did. But if you don't do that, don't tell me, okay? But that's why I do things like this. That's why I'll put things, Bible studies, in the bulletin like this. It's so you can take it home. That's why we did the Bible study we did Wednesday night. So you can take it home. I think you're marking your Bible. I think if you're a member of Gospel Light Baptist Church, you got a Bible, it's all marked up. You know what I mean? This circle here and drawn across the page and going over here and then a reference written right there. Because that's what I do in my Bible. Now, you don't have to be like me, and aren't you glad? Okay? But these Christians in Berea, they search the Scriptures daily that what they're heard preached, if that was really so. They didn't just listen to the sermon in church. They took what they heard in church home and said, "Wow, preacher really got my head going in a good direction. I'm going to read the Bible and strengthen what he said." I'd like to think, if you have your Bible, I don't give outlines. If you want the outline, Brother Bernie, I'll give plenty of him, okay? Plenty of outlines to him. If you want the outline that I'm preaching this morning, I'll gladly print it off and give it to you. But I'm just crazy enough to think people in our church write the references down and they go home and search it for themselves. Not because I'm a heretic, but that's how they did it in the Bible. They searched these things whether they were so. Is baptism really that important? Well, here, maybe I better check that out for myself. What do I believe? They searched the Scriptures daily. They had their Bibles open. I believe we're supposed to do the same. Take your Bible and go to, you're in chapter 17, go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, here we go. Chapter, Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Ready? And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, before the multitude he departed from them and separated the disciples, watch, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. He disputed with them in the Jewish temple for 2 years, every Sabbath day or Saturday. Can you imagine walking into a false church saying, okay, you know, me going down to the Kingdom Hall or Jehovah's Witness. Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to go up to this Jesuit college one day. My gun's already about half loaded. I'm not there yet. But I'm going to say I want to talk to a real Jesuit priest. Not one that's in training. I want to talk to a real one. And I'm not here. I got some questions I want to ask. Are you really pledged against the Bible to bring every person you can back to Rome? That's in 3 of your vows you took. Is that real? I'm asking. Do you really not care about the blood Jesus shed on the cross? Do you really not care about salvation? I want to ask him. Paul did every day, every Sabbath day for 2 years. He walked into the Jewish temple. Okay, I want to talk to y'all. Give it to me. Oh, you think, okay, you think salvation is of works? Sell me. Tell me. Sell it to me. You ought to know your Bible enough like that. Daily to dispute. Really, you think there's a gap between Genesis 1 and 2 and it's thousands of years and every day isn't literal? Sell me on it, because I think you're preaching heresy. I think it's garbage. There is no gap theory. Really, you think the tribulations happen? You think the rapture happens in the middle of the tribulation after 3.5 years? Sell me on it. What verse are you using? Because you're a screwball. Disputing. Do you understand? Show me what you're talking about, because I think you're off doctrinally. I don't think that's just the pastor's job. I think you're supposed to grow to where you can do that. That's why I think we mark our Bibles and we learn. So we can do what? Stand against error. What, you believe you're, after you're saved, you're supposed to speak in tongues? Oh my goodness. What verse are you using? 1 Corinthians 14? Here, let me show you about that, because you're off. You believe dreams and visions override the Word of God? Where do you get that? You're using the book of Acts where he saw in chapter 10 with Peter's vision? No, let me show you what the Bible says. There are no dreams and visions. This book is what's real. Can you dispute with people about error? Paul did it daily for 2 years. And you know, every once in a while, it's good, you know, it's good to get thrown into a pack of Jehovah's Witnesses every once in a while so they can eat your lunch and show you you don't know the Bible like you think you do. And the Bible calls it, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be what? Ashamed. Every once in a while it helps you when you get ashamed. I've had my lunch eaten. I've been out and couldn't answer the Mormons. We baptize for the dead. Yeah, I drew a blank. He wagga wagga'd me. I call that Pac-Man. Wagga 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 wagga. My partner there, I've been embarrassed out soul winning. You know what I did? I went back home and said, I guess I need to study up on my Bible for this so I can dispute and stand for truth. Christian, that's what we're supposed to do daily. When we hear of error, no, let me tell you what the truth is. Let me tell you what the truth is. Daily, God gives us responsibilities in the Bible. I'm supposed to daily perform my vows. I'm supposed to daily thank God for His benefits. I'm supposed to cry unto the Lord daily. I'm supposed to seek the Lord daily. I'm going to ask God and thank Him daily for the bread that I eat. I want to daily take up my cross and follow Him. I want to daily teach and preach Jesus Christ, and I want to daily search the Scriptures and daily dispute and declare the truth of the Bible. Why would I preach a message like this? Because in all the turmoil, you can start to think, well, you know, it is pretty hard. Don't rearrange your priorities. Let your priorities be arranged by the Bible. Let's not change what we are. Keep focused. And if persecution breaks out, hope it doesn't. But I don't care what's happening in the world. My mission's the same. Your job is the same. It won't change until God calls us home. Amen. What am I daily supposed to do? What are my responsibilities? I hope it helps you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this truth, I wish, please, Lord, help us to stay focused on You midst the mayhem, midst the insanity.